Welcome back to the podcast. I'm super excited today because we have a repeat guest with us. He is the founder of Hope of the World Ministries. He's the rabbi of Beth Israel Worship Center, but you know him as a teacher and a speaker. I'm talking about Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. Welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here.
I am so excited for you to be here today. And guys, you're going to want to stay tuned because he's going to be talking about his new book, The Return of the Gods. And it's talking about how the gods, the pagan gods mentioned in scripture, the gods of old, how they have returned and are operating. Specifically, we're going to be highlighting the U.S., how they are operating the U.S. today. And it's just every person needs to know this information. It's so important. But before we dive into it, I wanted to read a scripture. This verse lines up exactly with what you're talking about. This is in 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I just want to start off this with a quick prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us the truth. Thank you that we don't have a spirit of this world, but we have your Spirit, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So the Bible is highlighting this stuff, but what's so amazing to me in this verse is that it's saying God gives us spiritual truths that the natural mind cannot understand, and we can only discern him by his Spirit. And that's actually how you get your books. The Holy Spirit downloads the information to you. Is that correct?
Yeah. I could never reproduce any of those books because it's always a download and I don't even know where it's going. You know, the Lord just, it's the next thing and the next thing. Then when I need like the next key, someone says something, that's the key, you know, or something comes into my heart and I don't even know if it's real or not. I go to the web and there it is. So it's always like that. I can never reproduce it because it's dependent on the Lord for everything, including the return of the gods.
Okay, so how did this one come into your view screen?
This one I had on my heart for a long time, but I didn't know if I was going to write a book. And then I thought, okay, there's someday I'm going to write a book. Then during the lockdown, I felt, okay, this is the time. This is the, you know, right now these forces are I'd say out of control, but it's taking over the entire culture. So I knew I had to do it. And so I started like researching, you know, I had like these revelations. I started researching, had about 4,000 pages of notes, you know, but this is the one book that I had so much warfare over, which you'd expect, but so much warfare that I couldn't write it in the year. Usually, you know, I do the research and then I can write it, you know, the next few months. I couldn't write it for a year because there was so much warfare. I didn't have a second. Every time I tried to do something, I couldn't do it. So finally, when the next year started, I believe it was January 2022, I said, okay, first, I don't care. Even if I write one sentence, I'm breaking the ice. So I wrote one sentence, you know, and started the book. So it was in a very hard book to write. And it was like plowing through snow because we're dealing with some very big things and big forces, you know, very real stuff.
Very real stuff. I mean, I'm so excited for people to hear this teaching because it's going to give people an aha moment, like, oh, this is what's behind these different things taking place in the earth. And so I want to set the foundation before we go into modern times.
Yes.
So when you read the Bible and even from history, you know, there's the Canaanite gods, the Babylonian gods, but each culture in these times, really before the gospel, had kind of like the Greeks, they called it the pantheon. They had these group of gods that they worshiped, and there's actually connections between the different ones, whether it was the Greek version, the Roman version. And for me, when I was reading the Bible growing up, I didn't even know that these were real principalities. I just thought these were random gods that they had made up in their mind, fictional, and that they made statues of them and worshiped them. But the truth of the matter is that there were real demonic principalities and that what was going on in the Old and the New Testament was spiritual warfare. But I don't think most modern day American Christians understand that. So unpack that for us.
Yeah, it's kind of like the gods are the masks of these principalities. They wear them, you know, with that. And people, you know, the myths sometimes will follow what these principalities, and sometimes these principalities can play with the myths, you know, for that. that. But the thing is that in the Bible itself, in the book of Deuteronomy and in Psalm 106, it says when the nations were, or when they were worshiping these gods, they were worshiping, uses a different word, the Shedim. The Shedim is a Hebrew word actually linked to a Babylonian word, which means spirits, entities with will, with conscience, with volition. So behind the gods are these spirits. It says they lifted up their children to the Shedim. And actually the root word means destroyers. So these are demonic principalities. Now, when this word or these scriptures were translated into Greek, the word they chose was daimonia. We get the word demon or demonic. In fact, the Greeks called their gods or their little gods, they called them demons. They called them gods. So the link is all there. It's clear from the Bible. And when Paul says that the pagans in Corinthians, he says that their Gentiles are worshiping these things, he uses the word daimonia, which is also shedim. So now with the Greeks and the Babylonians, when they use these words, they said, well, these spirits can be good or bad, but in the Bible, it's only bad. These are demonic. So you have behind the gods are spirits. So then what's the next thing? If all these nations and cultures are worshiping the gods all around the earth, no matter who they are, they're always doing it. It means they're giving themselves to the spirits. And so the amazing thing is when you look at these cultures, you see the same signs that the Bible gives of demonic possession. You see it throughout the culture. And the closer that they got to the gods, like a priest, or the more they showed those signs. Mm-hmm. So then the next part of the puzzle or the mystery is the coming of the gospel. Then comes Messiah and everything changes. And he sends his word, he sends his power, sends the spirit into the world of the gods. So God comes into the world of the gods. The spirit comes into the world of spirits. And there's a gigantic fight. And that's why, you know, in the book of Acts, there's so much going on. The possessed woman stalks Paul. And the other place, they try to kill the disciples because they think their God is threatened. You know, the persecution of Christians was over this. You know, it was over, they said, if you just will worship the gods, we will not throw you to the arena, you know. And so it was all over that. And in fact, the great persecution of Christians, the greatest one, was started by one of these possessed women in the temple called the Oracle. She's the one who gave the emperor the go-ahead to possess, to persecute the Christians. This is one of these possessed people. Said she was possessed by the God, well, it was by a spirit. So that's how that happened. But in the end, the gospel prevails. And the gods are it's the twilight of the gods. The temples of Zeus are abandoned. The shrines of Dionysus are you know, just gone. And so the gods disappear, at least to the Roman Empire, Western civilization. But the question is, if spirits are behind them, what happened to the spirits? Spirits don't die. They're still there. So where are they and could they return? And for that one, the last piece of the puzzle is what Jesus gives. He gives the parable. When a spirit comes out of a man, goes looking for a place, doesn't find a place to dwell, says, I'm going back to my house, the guy, and goes back with seven other spirits, repossesses the man, and the Lord says, so it will be with this generation, not just talking about a person. And that is that, and here's the warning for America, for modern day world, that is any nation, culture, or civilization that has been delivered of these things, if it should ever turn away from God, if it should ever empty itself of God, these spirits are coming back. These gods are going to come back. So, and they're going to come back to repossess it. And they're going to the same spirits are going to come back to take a Christian civilization and turn it into a pagan civilization. And if you want to understand what's been happening in America for the last, say, 50 years, it's this. This is a repossession and it's a process of paganization.
Totally. And talking back to the repossession, because we see America starting as a Christian nation, the Puritans coming over, and we see different moves of God, you know, the First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, Azusa Street Revival. But then you can give a specific timeline, God starts being taken away. And so where the Spirit of God was welcomed and honored in our nation, the opposite began to happen. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. The thing is, you know, how can these things come back? Only if we open the door. And so America began opening the door in the early 60s, particularly began specifically removing God step by step, starting with the schools, you know, but then going through the culture. And the thing is that the warning is, you know, if you empty your house of God, it's not going to stay empty. Others will come in. So look, you know, take it as a perfect example. The first thing they did is take it away from the kids, take it away from school. Look what has come into the school. Look what has come into the kids. So the thing is that's the door. And so that opens the door for the beginning. And the beginning is, we say, like, well, what gods? You know, and then I said, okay, well, what gods came to ancient Israel when they turned away from God? And in the Return of the Gods, I identify three, which are the main ones, and I call it the Dark Trinity. And the first one is called the Possessor. In Hebrew, his name was Baal, or we say Baal, master, owner, all that. He's the one that turns the nation that had known God away from God, made Israel forget God, drove God out of the culture. So that's exactly what happens in America, starting with the 60s. What's been happening? It's a progressive removing of God throughout the entire culture, making America, like an amnesia's come over the nation, like we even knew God. You know, this America can hardly imagine the America of the 1950s when public school teachers were leading the children in the schools in the Lord's Prayer all across the public schools of America. You know, you can barely imagine it. Well, that's how much this has taken effect. And so Baal is the god of the turning away and the god of materialism and all these things. He promised prosperity. You know, and the interesting thing is that the sign of Baal we talked about was in ancient times was a massive bronze molten bull. And so could that sign appear in America? Just go to the center of America's culture. Go to New York City, and you'll find a massive bronze molten bull, the sign of Baal, the biblical sign of a nation that has known God but now turned away from God. It's all there. And the thing is, this spirit, like Baal, it's like the first one. Then he goes and gets his friends, and that's where the next ones come in.
Yeah, so Baal, his job is to turn the hearts because that's the first step. And allowing, you know, you have to push God out for the other ones to come and possess.
Yes.
And so Baal would kind of, I guess, almost turn people's hearts. Money was one of the main things.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things, not only to turn away America, but I think in a lot of the churches as well.
Yeah.
And so would you say that there, even today, one of the things I see is pastors censoring the truth of God's word in their churches because they're afraid it's going to affect the money coming in?
Yeah, that's actually what these principalities end up doing. They seek to silence the word of God. And that's why there's a lot for that reason. And there's a lot of pastors who are just afraid to talk because their congregation won't like them or their culture is going to censor them. And so they stop, you know, and that's a sign of this thing. And this has affected us in all sorts of ways we don't even realize. For instance, in pagan culture, well, in monotheistic cultures, one God, one truth, that's it. Pagan culture, you have many gods and many truths. So therefore, now we have this new thing in America, which wasn't before, which is, oh, you have your own unique truth. Everybody has their unique truth. If a man says, I'm not a man, I'm a tree, well, now he's a tree. You know, if a woman says, I'm not a woman, I'm a she, or I'm a they, then she's a they. That's her authentic truth. There's no truth. Everything is truth. That's pagan. Yeah. That's not enlightenment. That's not progressive. That's paganism.
I think one of the things that kind of blew my mind was I can see the stuff that's happening today, but what I didn't realize was when everything was being pulled, when God was being pulled out of schools, politics, I mean, every area in America, I didn't realize that was actually the first step in the repossession of America because all of that was done in like the name of good. You know, we were lied to. We didn't see it as a spiritual attack. We saw it as, oh, we're going to make everything fair and even. We're not just going to highlight one religion. We don't need to talk about God in school. And we got tricked, I think, believers, and we didn't push so hard against it because we thought we were doing something good. But really, it was the beginning of a spiritual attack.
Yeah, what you have is a new gods. And they may not call themselves that, but they're new gods. New isms, new wokeism, new all these things. That's what you have because you're going to serve somebody one way or the other.
Yeah.
The house is not staying empty. So that happened that way. And also the other thing is that when these spirits come in, they come in the name of tolerance. Like everybody just be taught, be open. Anything goes, come on, be open. You know, everybody can do their own thing. Well, it's not that way anymore. Now it's you must say this, think this. That's how it happens. You know, that's the tolerance thing was only to get in the door of a Judeo-Christian civilization. And once they got it, and once it starts becoming pagan, now it's every knee shall bow.
Now they're dominating.
Yeah.
And so that leads to the next one, the enchantress.
Yeah, Baal had a wife or a consort and in Canaanite mythology, and she was called Ashtoreth in the Bible. But this is one of the most ancient principalities. In Babylon, she was called Ishtar. In Sumer, she was called Inanna. In Greece, she was called Aphrodite. And the thing is that, oh, Aphrodite, Venus, that's not, this is very dark. This is the goddess of unbridled sexual immorality. And she was a prostitute goddess. Mm-hmm. And so she, what does a prostitute do? Well, first of all, what she does is she sexualizes a culture. If the other principalities are seeking to take a Christian nation and turn it into a pagan one, she does that through the realm of sexuality, which is very powerful because it has to do with life. So she, what's happening? She sexualizes the culture. She takes sex, what does a prostitute do? Takes sex out of marriage, puts it into the marketplace. Well, the entire culture has been sexualized and marriage has been weakened. Mm-hmm. It's not an accident that marriage is being weakened and destroyed. It all happened at the same time. That's what she does. And the thing is that we were sharing before that in they worshipped her as the sacred prostitute. Well, the Greeks, the way they worshipped her in her hymns, they called her the porne. The word for prostitute in Greek is porne. We get the word porn from it. Pornography. She's the goddess of pornography. And so she's the one, basically pornography comes from this goddess. That's how crazy it is. And so through this, she seduces a nation and a culture and a world. And one of her babies was called Eros, which is erotica. We get the word erotic from it. So you see this thing take over America. And on top of that, she is also the goddess of the occult. So at the same time when this is happening, you have the revival of New Age or tarot cards, astrology, psychic hotlines, you know, Eastern religion, all these things, which is because it's a revival of the occult. And to the point, to the degree, I shared that in America now, there are more witches than there are Presbyterians.
There is so much witchcraft. It's so popular right now. And people have no idea what they're dabbling in because when you open that door, you're allowing those demons to come in and wreak havoc on their on your life.
Yes.
You know, when you talk about, you know, the enchantress Ishtar, I think about beginning with feminism and like the radical feminism in the 60s and the sexual revolution. It's like it started with attacking marriage, attacking women and their femininity, men, and it evolved into now where you have gay basically being say that could be marriage, and that opened the door to now we're suffering with transgenderism. Yeah. Just there's such a wide range now of things that are going on that are sexually perverted.
It's all part of the same thing. That's you know, you don't the world doesn't see it, but it's part of the same thing. If you ultimately are saying that, you know, a man can do everything, a woman can do everything, a man can do, they're irreplaceable, then you're both ultimately saying that a man can marry a man can be a woman can be a man. That's where it ends. You can't separate that. And it's interesting that you said that because this goddess was basically an angry feminist. She raged against any authority. She raged against her father, who was the head of the patriarchy. So she's against that. And then it says, here's the other part of this goddess, you know, something strange about her, because she says in her tablets, she says, I am a woman, I am a man. And she says, it says, oh, you know, great goddess, you're the one who has the power to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man. This is the goddess of the destruction of gender, of merging gender, blending gender, you know, exchanging gender. That's what she does. And so it's no accident that now we're seeing our culture saturated with this. I mean, every year. I mean, a few years ago, you know, children were protected from these things. They say, you don't bring that up. Now children are being targeted with those things. And so it is happening, you know, because at the beginning, this is never going to come out. Because the beginning, you know, say the early 60s, this is too radical. You know, she hides it. But once she gets in culture, now the second part of her work begins, which is the destruction of gender. You know, first destruction. And also, listen, even destroying marriage, it's the same thing. Because if you destroy marriage is based on the complementary of gender. So taking that out, you're weakening all that. So it's all part of the same thing. And so it says that she grinds away the masculinity of men. So she takes men and takes them away from manhood, away from fatherhood, away from husbandhood, all that. She's been doing that. You know, and yet it says she masculinizes women. And so she makes them, because she herself was to quote, woman who has male attributes. So she's trying to make women into her image now. And that's what she's doing. And by doing so, you're separating, when you do that, you're separating man from woman, woman from man. You're saying they don't need each other. They can replace each other. That's all. That goes along with homosexuality. It goes along with transgenderism. It goes along with the confusion. All these things, this is the spirit behind it. In fact, when you talk about transgenderism, she had a priesthood of men walking around her temples dressed up as women, dressed up, speaking as women, you know, makeup, all that. And some of them, she had surgically transitioned. She transitioned them surgically. And so that is why you have now what you have. This is not new. This is the return of these things. When you see these things returning, you know that these spirits have returned and they're affecting the culture, and the culture doesn't even know what's going on, And so that is, the very first thing about her is she's, I turn a man into a woman. So you not just figuratively, but physically. So that's what we're dealing with. And this is like the major issue right now of the culture. It's all linked to this, all linked to that. In fact, how big this is, how it's affected our entire culture. It says, I looked at the ancient inscriptions, and it says that she made people parade through the city streets. And so she's the goddess of parades. Well, what happens now? We have the parades. She's the goddess of pride. We have the pride parades. What were her parades? It says that it was men dressed as women, parading as women, women parading as men, color, sexual licentiousness in the city streets. It's back. The other thing is that she had one particular month in the year which she especially possessed the culture. What was it? I looked in the book, in the Return of the Gods, I put in the writings of Saint Jerome, and he says it was the month in Latin, Iunium, or June. The month of June was the month of the goddess of pride and the month of sexual altering, and so it's back. Jesus said the spirits returned to the house they left. Well, she used to possess June in the pagan world. Now they've returned to repossess June. And so it's crazy. And even this is crazy, Rich. Think about this. And that is that, no nation, every nation, like it celebrates its birthday or one day, July 4th, one day. Yet we celebrate 30 days of a form of sexuality. That is not natural. And it's happening, it's not just America, it's all over nations. They do it more than their own birthday. There's something kind of crazy about it. And the other thing is that she had a particular sign. And this, one of her signs was the sign of the rainbow. That way, in fact, in the book, I go through each color of the rainbow flag, the original rainbow, and each one is linked to the goddess. Each of the meanings that they gave it are linked to the goddess. It says she stretches herself out like a rainbow to wage war, to increase herself. Well, through the sign of the rainbow, she's increasing herself. And it's really crazy because did you ever hear about the American embassies putting up another flag aside from American flag, but a sexuality? That's crazy. It's everywhere. It's not natural. And this belongs to God, but yet one of the mythology says that she steals what belongs to other gods and makes it her own. So this is how real it is. It's affecting our entire culture.
So Baal comes in, turns people's hearts. Ishtar comes in and perverts, essentially. And then there's the third of the dark trinity is the destroyer. Tell us about
yes,
him.
The destroyer is the principality that causes parents to offer up their own children as sacrifices. And so that's what's going to come. Now Jesus is warning. Okay, if you turn away from God, this one's coming back too. So Moloch, or this destroyer, comes to America. And look at, you just said, just like clockwork. First is Baal, then Ashtoreth, then Moloch. So first is Baal, the turning, then is Ashtoreth, the sexual, revolution. And then comes abortion, the lifting up of children. And so they say, oh, this is progressive. No, this is pagan. We're offering up our children. And I mean, who could do that? Offering our children, and Jesus said they come back worse. So the thing is that, Israel offered up thousands of children. We've offered up 64 million children, they come back worse. And when I won't go into it, but in the book, I share how they offered up their children. And that's how abortion is done to this day. In fact, you think about it,
Wait, can you share that?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll give one thing. What is the reason why, when you think, well, back then, why did they do this? Why did they offer it? Because the God promised them prosperity, financial advantage, and their fields, they'd be prosperous. So they did it to get that. Why are women told to have abortions? Well, it's going to hinder your career. It's going to hinder your academics. It's going to hinder all that. It'll drag your life down. You'll make money. You know, you'll be prosperous. Same thing. The number one, the back then, the children who were offered up more than any other children were the children of the poor. Who was offered up in abortion more than any other? The children of the poor, more than any other of them. All these things, you know, there's so much to it, but it's, and in fact, here's another one. They consider themselves, you know, they consider this act, which is crazy, as a sacred sacrament. As you know, that, you know, I put in the book, leading abortionists and leading radical feminists, and they're talking about abortion. They say it is a holy sacrament. It is a sacrifice. It is a pagan sacrifice. Some of them even say it is a holy sacrament. Even that, it's not natural. I mean, it is spiritual.
That's what makes so much sense. And I just want to, you know, encourage people who are listening to this, Christians, to, you know, see with spiritual eyes what's going on, and to be clear. Now that you're hearing this in your stance and what you're advocating for, because I think so many Christians get caught up on abortion, they get caught up on, you know, extreme feminism, and they'll advocate for things that are not God's word, not realizing that there's actually a demonic agenda behind this stuff.
Yeah. That you're finding, you know, you mentioned a scripture at the beginning where Paul's speaking about principalities. The other one is where he said, we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and powers, you know. And so this is what we're dealing with. If you don't know, if you're in a fight and you don't know who you're fighting, you're going to fight wrong. You know, you're going to fight, you know, this is what you're dealing with. And this is what we're dealing with, you know. And even, I mean, could imagine if I said, you know, could this affect even the Supreme Court? Could it be behind it? Well, let me give you an example. The Supreme Court, you know, made three major rulings that altered sexuality and finally marriage. We all remember when it happened with marriage. But it was over a 12-year period. Now, I told you June was the time of the goddess, particularly the last days of June, around the time of the summer solstice, pagan time. The first one, which was in 2003, or 2002 or 2003, and that is that when they did that ruling, it came in June, came in the time of the goddess, the time of the summer solstice. It was on June 26th. The second one, 10 years later, which was striking down the Defense of Marriage Act, came in June, last days of June, time of the summer solstice, days of the goddess, June 26th, same exact day. The third one was the striking down of marriage as we know it. Remember that. And when did it happen? June, last days of June, same day, June 26th. But this is like 12 years after the first one. Now the thing is, this is all that date is linked to the mystery of the goddess. And the thing is that the Supreme Court is not trying to do that. They don't know it's being used. And if you remember the day when marriage was struck down as we know it, the president lit up the White House in the colors of the rainbow, which is the goddess. Okay, and you know, celebrated all over and all that. And the thing is that on that night, it was on the ancient calendar. It was the 10th day of the month of Tammuz. Now, Tammuz is linked to Ishtar, is linked to this goddess. Yeah. But the thing is, it was the 10th day. And so here's the thing. I looked at the ancient Babylonian calendar, and it said in there, the 10th day of Tammuz is appointed, ordained to cast a spell, for the casting of a spell to cause a man to love a man. That was the day that it became legal in America. And so you see how big this is and what we're really fighting.
What we're really fighting, how it's all connected.
Yeah.
And it's all on purpose. And, you know, speaking of Moloch, you know, I think this could also fall with Ishtar because Ishtar perverts. But Moloch, it's offering up the children. And I think about how all these children are being offered up right now for transgender reassignment surgery, hormone therapy, and there's these lies that are being spoken. They're trying to make it scientific when in reality, scientists across the board, I mean, 20, 30 years ago, wouldn't even believed in the whole thing of there's multiple genders because biologically we only have two, you know? But
yes.
People are being children. It's the transgender thing is really specifically going after children. They're lying. They're saying, oh, these hormone blockers aren't going, they're just going to pause your puberty, when that's not true. These are the same medicine that's being used on pedophiles to castrate them.
Yeah.
So this is a serious thing, but it makes me think, oh, because the parents are being, I feel like almost every major attack right now is parents being pressured, put on by parents to affect the children.
Yeah, you're totally right. You know, the gods always go after the children, whether it's child sacrifice, whether it's mutilation, it's always against the children. You know, there was something we were talking earlier that there was this, there's a famous fashion line called Balenciaga.
Yeah, Balenciaga.
Yeah, and they put in this, they did this whole thing with children, sexualizing children. Well, that's another form of offering up children, sexualizing them. So they had them as S&M, you know, sadomasochism, this whole thing. But in one of them, if you look closely, it had the name, you know, of Balen, you know, Balenciaga. But they added an L to the B-A-L. They added an L to make it Baal. Baal was one of the gods they would offer their children to. So that connects everything you're saying. You know, the goddess, she possessed a priesthood and she had them dress up and transition and all that. But now she comes back worse. She's seeking to possess an entire generation. And our school system, the same school system that once led in the Lord's Prayer that we took God out of, is now pushing this, never even a few years ago, pushing this on children. You know, that's what happens when you turn away from God.
What I'm thinking about is just this, people who are listening to this are going to be stirred up. And I think they're going to be encouraged to stand up and do something, because whether you're a parent, whatever phase of life, wherever you work, there's a way that we can stand. You know, I'm thinking about parents going to school board meetings and different things like this. What would your word of encouragement to people who are listening to this, not to be overwhelmed, yeah, but to take a stand and fight? What would that be?
Yeah, one is, well, the last part of the book is called The Other God. And the thing is that these are all limitations. All the gods put together are not as powerful as God's thumb. You know, and the thing is, you have the power of the living God. And, you know, this is not, we're not the first ones to deal with this. Almost everybody in the Bible, you know, Moses dealt with the gods of Egypt, you know, Elijah with the gods of Canaan, the Maccabees, the gods of the Greeks, Paul and the Christians, gods of Rome, you know, all of them. And so the thing is, you know, we stand, you know, and the thing is, we have to take our stand. The problem is, if we don't fight, we got a power that is so much more powerful. Listen, the name of Jesus, Yeshua, actually cast out these gods, these spirits, out of an entire civilization. We've got that power inside of us. But the problem is that Christians aren't using it. You know, they're so intimidated. They don't want to talk. They don't want to say anything. You can't say that. We have to stand for the truth. Let the chips fall where they may. These are the times that produce Elijahs and produce Daniels and produce the great people of God. You know, when the dark gets darker, it's time for us to get brighter. And so really, those who will stand will become great in this hour. So we've got that power. The first thing, one thing practical is, if you have anything of this in your life, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever, anything that becomes a god or an idol above God, get it out of your life and get filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is so much more powerful than these spirits. The Almighty God is so much more powerful than these gods. And so we have that power and we have that name, but we got to use it. We have to stand and we have to be strong. You listen, many people have prayed, you know, I wish I could live in Bible times. Congratulations, you're here. You know, this is more like Bible times than the times when America was, quote, Christian. This is the time. That was the exception. This is what it was. So this is our hour. And greater is he in you than he was in the world and everything that's in the world. But stand in it, not only for the culture, but for your family, for your house, for your life. You know, maybe you're dealing with a dark kind of spirit, an addiction, a bondage that's trying to oppress you. Stand with the power of God and overcome, because this is the time. We were born for such a time as this.
That's so good. Can you say a quick prayer for someone who might be struggling and needs deliverance?
Sure. Lord, I ask your blessing on everyone who's listening and watching, Lord, and everyone, Lord, whatever they're dealing with. And if that's you, just pray along with me right now. Just this prayer. Lord, I ask for your power. I ask for your presence. I ask for the power of Jesus into my heart, into every part of my life to get this thing out. And I'm going to follow you with all my heart. Lord, I ask right now for my brothers and sisters and those watching, Lord, bless them. Give them that power. Let this be a turning point. Let them take up their stand now and say, no more, no more. Get out of my life. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua, I am free.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here today. For your new book, The Return of the Gods, where can people get it?
The Return of Gods is everywhere. If you go online right now on Amazon or any place online, it's there. It's in Walmart. But not only, I'm encouraging people, not only getting it for yourself, but get it for people in your life who need to get set free as well.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
My blessing, Rebecca.
And blessings on to everyone who's listening or watching this. Share this with your friends. Get the word out, because we need to take a stand today. Thank you so much.
Amen.